London.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station. 106.3 KXNO. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller. We're with you for the next couple of hours. I'm glad you're spending some of that time here with us. A busy, busy Monday to recap the weekend that was. Trust everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I know certainly I did. Trent, you're back from St. Louis. A little spring in your step, so good time with the family. Good food.
Good food. Great food. And I love Phil Fleck. Phil Fleck and me are tight.
You've always said that. Easy. You know what?
A lot of respect.
Yeah, there's very seldom a week go by that you're not in your boy. If Aaron Sever leaves, I wonder if they can get Fleck. Anyways, we'll get to that as Phil Fleck does the Hawkeyes a favor. Well, his football team does. And the Hawks stamp their ticket to Indianapolis to take on Michigan. What a crazy weekend it was. So much to recap. Want to do the Hawkeye football. We have to talk about Cyclone basketball. Yeah. About TJ Otzelberger. My God. Jazz Kuntz. He's really starting to come on, as well as some of his other teammates as well. The Cyclone football, Breece Hall, Lincoln Riley, Matt Campbell, Looks like he's going absolutely nowhere. Where do you want to start?
It's a great question because there's so many different directions that we can go, but let's start with football. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah. In order that they played, the Hawks go over to Nebraska. Another typical Iowa win, right? Yep. Ferentz's quote after the game, and I'm paraphrasing, so I'll be close. We're not the prettiest car in the lot, but we get from point A to point B pretty well.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty apt description of this Hawkeye football team. Needed a blocked kick, which was a huge game changer, mm-hmm. and it seemed like Nebraska knew at that time. Certainly their radio team seemingly did when that happened. That, oh boy, here we go again type of moment, and that's what it was. Quarterback change in the middle of the game, Padilla out, Petras in. I guess we're going to find out tomorrow what that means pursuant to Saturday in Indianapolis. I think most folks think that will be Petras, although Padilla with those two beasts that will be chasing whichever quarterback around, well, they won't be chasing Petras. They'll know right where to find him.
Right.
which is why I was kind of hoping that Padilla would get the call. But the game itself, Trent, where do you want to go as far as what you saw in Lincoln on Friday, 12:30?
As you said, obviously the punt block was the game changer. It just completely flipped that game. It looked like Nebraska was finally going to find a way, going to end what at the time was 17 straight losses against ranked teams and on and on and on. A little positive momentum going into the offseason. And then Henry Marques makes a play. My favorite part about it, though, is he was asked after the game about it. And he completely breaks down what they looked at a film, what they saw, the cadence they were using on the punt. And it again shows you the difference between
coaching
Iowa and so many teams.
Yes.
And the importance of the third, and it is three elements football. One team does it this way, and that's Iowa. Nebraska continues to be a problem on that side of the football. Special teams are a problem for them. And what Iowa does and what LeVar Woods continues to do puts him, I think, in the conversation for head coaching jobs. I think puts him in conversation for the next head coach whenever Kirk decides to hang it up.
Yep.
Because the attention to detail that they do game in and game out with special teams to close that edge. And you can point to yardage totals and everything else. How does Iowa close the gap? Special teams.
That's exactly right.
They have one of the best kickers in the punt country. They have a great punter.
Yep.
They have coverage units year after year after year that are excellent. And they have return game with Charlie Jones.
Jack Campbell's on the coverage. I mean,
you put good players out there.
Yeah, Terry Roberts is a star on special teams.
Ivory Kelly Martin, before he was hurt, he was excellent as a gunner. Turned out not the running back that many people hoped, and the fumble issues popped up, but he still was out there when healthy and making big plays. And that's how Iowa closes the gap. You can't just look at total yards and say, well, they stink, because there's more than just elements of offense and defense.
I'll tell you what I look at, Trent, and what I think everybody can look at this morning. You don't have to go very far when you look at the standings, a 10 and a dash and a 2.
How?
Right.
I don't know.
And then you go to the West and you look in a 7 and a dash and a 2, and you don't have to look too far down. In fact, they're right on top of the Big Ten West. I'm with you. I don't know how they do it. You look at this team, they don't look 10-2 to me.
Nope.
But you know what? That's where they are. And you are what your record says that you are. And they're 10-2, and they're in the big, they're playing for a Big Ten championship on Saturday night.
They're 60 minutes away from playing in the Rose Bowl.
It's crazy.
This group,
yes,
that has had offensive issues all season long.
All season long.
Has struggled to put away the likes of Colorado State, who proved to be not very good.
Nope.
Kent State, struggled in that game.
Goodson's, I mean, he's playing his best football at the right time of year.
And the offensive line is playing its best football, too.
Certainly the interior. Both of the guards are stepping up in a big way. I'll give you that. Now, this Saturday is going to be a test because Michigan is, they are loaded in the trenches. They just took Ohio State, the woodshed. Just, I mean, Trent, that was a physical beatdown, but we'll save that for later on. What'd you think of Logan Smothers, the Husker QB, making his first start?
He was pretty good.
I thought they might have something.
They have something there.
I
absolutely.
Think so
too. And credit to Scott Frost, not late in the game, but putting together the elements of the wishbone for all intents and purposes. It's just out of a shotgun, but they're run a wishbone. It looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be the base of their offense going forward? Something similar to that. You look at a program like Coastal Carolina that does the same thing. They run the wishbone, just do it out of shotgun. And there's more elements you can do. It's not the old school football way of doing it. But for Nebraska, difficult to prepare for. And there's so many elements that you can run out of that. You have to think that needs to be your base going forward. You're going to go and you're going to get one more shot. I think that's their best chance. Of course, they're going to be looking around. They'll be looking for a quarterback. And yeah, if there's a big name that comes there, maybe that changes the element a little bit. But if Smothers is a guy for next season, that's where I'm starting. He's going to be our guy. And this is the way we're going to do things, because as much fun as it is to make fun of them, I'll tell you what, that program as a whole, and you can see why they're dysfunctional, because they're a bunch of jars, and they just talk, and they chirp, and you get 13, and they still are getting up and talking. It's just, it's a sickening program. It really is. They do not back up what the team did 30 years ago. They just don't.
No.
They think they do. The N on the helmet stands for something, and it stands for just a lot of talking with not a whole lot to back it up anymore.
Nope.
And it was great to see the way that it played out. But
Trent, they finished 1-8 in the Big Ten.
1-8.
1-8.
And point differential, zero.
It's nuts, right? How does that happen? How does it happen? Well,
bad coaching.
Certainly has a big role in it. There's no question about that. And yeah, I think that they're going to sniff around the transfer portal. We'll see where that goes. But fun game. Good to see.
How about Shudak?
Yeah, Trent, the kids, I'm telling you, he's getting one of those 32 jobs.
You think so? Wow.
Yes, and here's the thing. It's not like there's only 32 kickers. You can find NFL rosters going on their fourth or fifth kicker already this year.
That's true.
So, I mean, he's going to get a shot. I'm convinced of it. The kid's automatic. Automatic.
Been so very good this
year. Oh, my God. It's three whenever he lines up. Whenever it lines up.
And they needed every single one of them.
They certainly did. Certainly did. Put up 19 points in the fourth quarter, and away they go to Indianapolis. I'm so glad we have a football game to talk about this week. Let's do Iowa State. Obviously, the game was kind of overshadowed by the pregame senior ceremony with Campbell, et cetera, and his love and affection for the players. I mean, it is what it is. That's him. That's not phony. That's who he is. And who Breece Hall is as good a running back. Look, Troy Davis was exceptional. David Montgomery was really good. This kid, I know there's no 2,000 yards beside his name, but my God, he is so special, Trent. He is fun to watch, and this is not a good offensive line.
Nope.
He's
covered up a lot of the problems with that offensive line the last couple of years.
Yep.
And they were certainly overrated coming into the season because of what Breece Hall did a year ago. You look at the numbers, they're incredible. You think of what he's done, this offensive line, when he's not out there doing things, and just how pedestrian that they look. He is, for my money, the best running back certainly in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Troy Davis was great, and I get it.
Right.
But how many of those yards, and I remember seeing it before, but when they were down
55-10 in the third string, I get it.
There was one of those 2 years, I want to say that over half of his yards came when they were down two scores or more. Says a lot, right?
Here's how I look at it. It's really difficult to compare errors. I get it. if Troy Davis and Breece Hall are competing for the job tomorrow,
yeah,
Breece Hall will win.
I think so, too.
I think Breece Hall will win. And this is no slight against Troy Davis.
No,
he was
no.
Phenomenal. Probably should have won a Heisman, except his team stunk.
Right.
Right? His team was so bad.
They were 3-8.
They were 3-8. Brock Purdy sets all the records. Another incredible day out of him. Love to see Chase Allen get his touchdown at the end. I think it was the final touchdown of the game. There was just so many highlights. Some of the young guys making plays on that defensive side of the ball. We'll see where they go. But wherever they go, I'm convinced they're going with Matt Campbell. And this wasn't the case. And look at... you can believe what you want to believe as far as what USC and the flirtation was between the schools. Today's Los Angeles Times, Brady McCullough. Some of you may have read Brady McCullough over the years. He used to write for the Kansas City Star. Mm-hmm. This is today's LA Times. Let me get the quote in front of me. Backup plan. This is from the LA Times, Brady McCullough. Backup plans were in place just in case Riley opted to stay put. Consideration was given to Baylor's Dave Aranda and to Iowa State's Matt Campbell. During the weekend, Campbell emerged as the top option behind Riley. The belief was that the Iowa State coach would accept the job if offered. Now, is that Brady Cullough's belief or is that USC's belief?
Sure.
That's not outlined in the story. I'm glad he's staying. I mean, we've said this all along. I thought that this was, if there ever was going to be an option to leave, that this might be the one he listens closest to. But it's better for Iowa State when Matt Campbell's there, and it's better for sports talk radio when Iowa
yes.
State football's relevant.
Right. It's not a summer of, can they get to
yes.
six?
Or, boy, I see three, Trent. How about you? Well, maybe four.
There could be four if they, yeah, there's mm-hmm. that's not the conversation. And with breaks, you can have a season like 2020, and that is what the program has developed into. Is it going to be a step back in terms of at least the names that we know next year? Yeah, it looks that way. Doesn't mean they can't go out to the transfer portal and bring in a couple right. of guys and with the right pieces. And I've been impressed by these young guys. Mm-hmm. Remember, we haven't seen a ton of the young guys because, well, you return 20 starters from a year ago.
Yeah.
So you don't get many opportunities. But the ones that we have.
Certainly more on defense than on offense.
Absolutely. Yep. From what we've seen from the Bo Frailers of the world. And there's been
McDonald,
opportunities.
Purchase,
absolutely.
Isham Young's relatively young. Now, yeah. We saw him before, but he's a player. And here's the other thing, too. This April's going to be so rare. This isn't going to be Alan Lazard, will he or won't he? Will their Cyclone be drafted or not? Mm-hmm. There's going to be a bunch of them. That
Does
are drafted.
The first round drought end, though?
It's going to be close. It's in the 20. And if it is, I think it's Breece Hall.
You do?
I do. And if he does well at the combine.
Yes.
And, once they do the measurables. Mm-hmm. Will McDonald, look, he's hurt.
Yeah.
He's got a core injury, apparently.
See, he's the guy for me.
No, I can see that.
Because running backs, think of Travis Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
Was as talented of a guy as we've seen, snuck in there right at the end. Breece Hall's excellent. And you're right. It's going to come down to how they test. If all of a sudden, Breece Hall, he ran a 4.42.
Right. And there's a team at 28, 29. I mean, he's not the top 20 player. Running backs just aren't, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And when you do, you've got to be absolutely positive.
Or you end up like the Giants with Saquon.
In terms
of talent, yes.
Right.
But it's
a
running
back. We
all
saw him play in college. Well, hell, you guys saw what he did at Kinnick Stadium.
Yes.
My God. But it's a running back. And, mm-hmm. and at the next level, not a dime a dozen, but you get my point. It's tough. If I had to guess here today, I would say no, the streak doesn't end.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a handful of guys get drafted, I believe. Basketball real quick. Iowa State over the weekend.
Wow.
Trent, this was when was the Alabama State game?
Oh,
because they stayed
week and
in
a
town
half
to play.
Ago?
Was it last Monday? Because they stayed and played Iowa two nights later, whenever it was.
Right, right.
You know what? I don't think it was Thanksgiving week, whenever it was. Trent, this is an entirely different basketball team that showed up in Brooklyn.
It was Tuesday the 16th.
Tuesday the 16th. Well, there you go. So 10 days later, 11 days later, whatever it was, beat Xavier and beat Memphis and did it both convincingly.
But dominated.
They were never in doubt.
Without Jack Dungy, Xavier gets beat by 20 themselves, just like Memphis. Well, I guess it turned out to be 19.
Mm-hmm.
That Memphis team has a couple of lottery picks on it. And Iowa State, the way that they clamp down defensively.
Yes.
And that's the calling card of this team. There's limitations offensively. It's not a great shooting team. Now, Kuntz keeps hitting shots.
And Kalscher was unbelievable.
Right. And Kalscher, even if he can get to 33-35% from three, look out.
Yeah.
Because what he does defensively, same thing. Brock, he's not a great shooter. He's a good offensive player. Not a great shooter, though. But you put it all together, and what they're doing on the defensive end, it's going to give them an opportunity, not every night, but most nights, that they're going to have an opportunity. Again, stop me if you heard this before, the Big 12 is amazing, again, at basketball. That conference is going to be great once again, seemingly every single year. I think, what is it, 8 of the last 9 years has been the number one team, number one conference, excuse me, in the country at KenPom. That's what this conference is, and it's going to be a bear again this season.
So could we, is it too early to have the bubble conversation if they keep playing like this? I mean, Trent, there was no way in hell that this team was even going to sniff postseason.
No.
Right?
No.
I'm not saying they're in the tournament based on two games, but you have to look at those two games and think to yourself, if they keep taking these steps forward, I mean, it was a joke that Bet Rivers put the number out for conference wins at what, two?
Two and a half.
Two and a half. So they got to win three games in the conference.
Heavily invested.
I know you are. Good for you. Yes. I wish I would have been, but I won't bet the locals.
When they're giving away money.
I know. I thought they were giving away money. Anyways, I'll save that for another day. But don't you think that this team might flirt with conversation?
So this is what they have remaining. Wednesday this week, Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Okay. And then they got Creighton coming up, don't they?
They got Creighton on Saturday.
Okay.
8 o'clock, late tip-off.
Have you seen Creighton? I saw them play a little bit against Nebraska.
Yep.
They put up a big lead, and Nebraska came back, and it was close.
Creighton is, it's one of McDermott's youngest teams that he's had. They're kind of not what you normally, now they're 6-1, but they're not quite there. They got blown out by Colorado State. There's a name we know over there at Colorado State doing a really good job over
Two
there
names
too.
Over there.
Right, yeah. They're okay. They're okay. They're not what you'd probably think of. They're not the team of a year ago, certainly. Not top 25, but that's a winnable game.
Yeah.
And I got to guess, there's going to be plenty of Cyclone fans that make their way over to Omaha for that one, right?
Oh, that, because it's a big building.
Yes.
Big, big building.
Seats available.
What is it, 18,000?
Yeah, it's huge. Yep. So going to be an opportunity there. Of course, Iowa then, a week from Thursday.
Trent, all of a sudden, that game that looked you really want to watch that, Cyclone fans?
Right.
All of a sudden?
Bohannon coming back after signing the shoes 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to be a big-time one. And then they coast into conference play with Jackson State, Southeast Louisiana, and Chicago State. Even a split of those two games. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Because of the depth of the conference, even getting to 8-10, if one or two of those wins is against a Kansas, a Texas, whoever emerges out of that group of Baylor, at 8-10, with what they've done, what they did in New York, in Brooklyn, has put themselves absolutely there. Where it doesn't have to be, I got to have a winning record in the conference. That's not the case. They've done enough here to this point. And the big thing is, because they got some dregs on here, as we talked about, on the other side of the state.
Right.
But it's so much better with the new metric, the net metric, as compared to the RPI. When you play those dregs, it killed you when you played that many bad teams. The net doesn't impact it as much. You get the right wins, they got a chance. And the way they play defense, Cyclones got a chance.
Yeah, they clamped down. Look, they won two games last year. They've won. They're 6-0 this year.
Right.
I thought T.J. Otzelberger was taking the easy way out, a lazy hire, right? A lazy hire.
The way I put it at the time was, I just thought that the Iowa State basketball job was too good to just give to your buddy, and that's what it was.
Yes.
Jamie Pollard and him are friends, and I wanted them to, at the very least, look around, because it felt like a foregone conclusion.
Yes, it did.
That Otz was going to get the job, and that's obviously the way that it played out.
Thank God.
Right, and it's looking great right now. I wanted, though, to see what else was out there. What other names would make sense? But for right now, they got the guy, and they had a guy also that understands that program and that
athletic
department.
Well, and that's as important as anything, Trent. And you know what? Again, we both thought it was taking the easy way out, and you know, I was wrong.
Yeah.
TJ's he knows the culture. He knows what it's like to coach in Ames. He gets it. It's right hire. Good for you, Jamie Pollard. You got one.
For as good as it was for Iowa State, though, Drake.
Trent.
That's a rough weekend.
Yeah.
0-3.
It was really rough. Watched him yesterday morning. Started at 9:30, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't see the first 15 minutes of the game, but saw the rest of it. Look, they had a chance. Roman Penn's got the ball in his hand in the paint with an open shot, and it just wouldn't fall. Had an opportunity to get the tip. It wouldn't fall. He couldn't get it done, but you're right, 0-3. Now, on the other side of the state with the Valley, look out, A.J. Green.
Yeah.
By far his best game of 2020-21-22.
He couldn't miss.
He couldn't.
He was incredible, and just saw snippets of that, bits and pieces, checking in. Football was going on, of course,
sure.
And flipped on the app a couple of times, ESPN Plus, and watched it, but good environment out there. A ranked St. Bonaventure team. First time they've been ranked since, what, the 1970s? A program that way back in the day was really good, a New York program, but had fallen on hard times. It's had some decent teams throughout the years, but they went in there, shot lights out. You mentioned A.J. Green, 9 3-pointers in the game. Burhaus hitting shots. And Heisey, a guy that I just wasn't sure about, he continues to come up big for them. He's playing at a high level. Bourne's working his way back out. It's not an overly deep team by any means, but goes without saying. They shoot the basketball.
Yep.
They're going to have a chance throughout the season. And Graydon plays at that level, they're going to be right there. And think of the race with them and Loyola and Drake. And throw Missouri State in there, too. I don't know. It's going to take a lot now to be a two-bid lead.
I agree with you. November was not kind to the Valley.
You know, if Loyola could have beat Michigan State, and they were right there on that, what was that, Wednesday, I think it was, Wednesday morning that they were playing, but they just weren't able to break through. Same thing with Drake. They had a chance against Alabama. It was a really good team and just couldn't get it done. And that's ultimately, I think, going to hurt this as a whole, the conference. Still an opportunity, but now, you know, those teams at the top, it can't be four teams going 14-4. You need one or two of them to merge at 16-2 plus, probably, because of what's happened here in the non-conference.
Well, fun weekend. We haven't even touched on the NFL, so let's maybe spend a minute on the NFL from yesterday or from the weekend, if you'd like. Packers, man, maybe that's locals. That's the story with the Chiefs being off. Aaron Rodgers playing at an MVP level again. Defense making plays when they had to. Matthew Stafford, Rams fans starting to see the Lions version of their QB.
Feels like it's kind of trending that direction. No Robert Woods, obviously out for the year. Jefferson stepped up. Of course, they got Cooper Kupp, and they got weapons.
Boy, but he's something, isn't he, this Cooper Kupp?
It just doesn't feel like it's all melding well for the Rams, because the talent certainly is there, and you go back to one spot. Most important position in sport, quarterback. Stafford has some of those ugly parts. He still threw for 300 yards, but just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Watching that one and the Packers. I don't know how.
Well, Mason Crosby's going to be a problem. If it comes down to, and it will in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, what is wrong with this dude? Jesus. This guy was automatic for so my father time, everybody but Brady, I guess.
But remember, he had another one of these years, what, 3-4 years back?
You're right, and then he turned it around.
Right.
I don't think he'll be given that opportunity. He makes too much money to turn around. This will be, I got to think, this, hey, there's a kicker in Iowa City that's maybe going to put his name. I'm telling you.
Are you Caleb Shudek's agent? Is that what's happening
here? I'd love to buy stock in Mr. Shudek. I'll say that much. Real quick from this, did you see Kirk Herbstreit's tweet from last night? I thought, you know what? This is a really good tweet. As far as making you think, that's all. That's what I want to preface it. I want to bring it up here. His tweet, he's spitballing, as he said, the crazy of scenarios. Not predicting this. Just what if? What if Georgia wins, Iowa wins, Houston wins, and Baylor wins?
All right. So, Cincinnati out.
How are you going to put Cincinnati out? They lost to Houston. Right. They're out. Yes.
Cincinnati's out. Obviously, Michigan out.
Michigan is out. Loss. Yep.
Oklahoma State out.
Yep.
So, it's Georgia. Automatic. Yep. And then who?
Well, Notre Dame would be sitting on the... Notre Dame's going to be 5 or 6 tomorrow. So I would think that they, even though they're not playing, they have one fewer data point. They would get one of them.
You'd put them in over Cincinnati team that beat them at Notre Dame.
Yes, because they're Notre Dame, and I think they'll get in.
Because they're Notre Dame.
Yep, because of that reason, I think.
Their best win is against an 8-4.
Yep, I don't care.
Wisconsin.
Notre Dame's going to get in.
Okay. There's 2.
Right. Need 4.
Need 4.
Right.
Baylor? Team that lost to an awful TCU team.
Yeah. And to Oklahoma State, but they just beat them this weekend.
Utah? They have 3 losses.
No
chance.
No shot.
Iowa?
Big Ten champion.
Big Ten champion. Conference champion.
Just beat number 2 Michigan, because Michigan will be number 2 tomorrow.
Yeah. That's what we're going to be coming down to. Those are going to be the conversations.
Yes.
Cincinnati or Notre Dame? Who do you take? The team that has the head-to-head or the team that... And beat up on a pretty bad schedule this year. Mm-hmm. I think it's closer than maybe people think. Iowa or Baylor, if it comes down to that. Iowa, two losses. But yeah. We'll have a better win than anything Baylor has.
Yeah.
Beating Michigan.
Yeah.
But also lost pretty convincingly to both Purdue and Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I think that conversation's also different if those were both one-score games, both tight games. But they got blown out in both those games, and I think that's going to matter too. And get past that. Who else is out there?
Let me throw this team out there. Ohio State?
Yeah. Or even two-loss Alabama. If Alabama loses 23-21.
Mm-hmm.
Or loses in overtime, they're probably still in.
Speaking of overtime, should Harson have gone for two?
Yes. Take the win. And they had a beautiful play that they got the two-point conversion.
Great point, Trent, because they saved that the first two-point conversion portion of overtime, which, you know, I like the shootout in hockey, but when you get to the playoffs, you go back to play until somebody scores, right? In a conference, I don't know.
Right. I got you.
I don't know, but you got to go for two there.
Harson. And you go take the two. Win 18-17. Oh, how awesome that would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to guess if they would have went for it and not got it, he would be taking less flack than he is.
Yes, for sure he would.
Here today.
Yes.
And also something to keep an eye on. Clock's ticking down there. He needs to be vaccinated, I think, by December 8th.
Oh, he's not. He has not said. Okay.
He has been very elusive as it pertains to that. Of course, we saw what happened to Rolovich out of Washington State. Yeah. Something to keep an eye on, at the very least, with Harson. There's been a lot of conversation down there about that. And when we talk to Bama, I'm going to throw that by him, too, what the scuttlebutt is down in Alabama about that.
Interesting. Didn't know that. Oh, what a game it was.
Oh, yeah.
Did Bryant Young win the Heisman?
I hope not.
I hope not either, but there's a lot of folks that vote for this thing. There's the Heisman moment. There's what we've
Heisman
been
moment.
For.
You had 3 points in 58
you're,
minutes.
You're preaching to the choir.
Oh.
You know who had a Heisman moment on Saturday and should get an invitation but won't win it?
Caleb Shudeck.
Yes! No, number 97, who you're going to see a lot of on Saturday night.
Yes. Why can't we have a defensive player?
There's ever a year.
He had 15 pressures.
Trent.
Pro Football Focus, 15 pressures. And I know some people roll their eyes when they hear the PFF numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who is grading it. I don't care if it's my daughter grading it. You can see when somebody's getting to the quarterback and they do it 14, 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
That is as impactful, the most outstanding player in college football. Why isn't Aiden Hutchinson in that conversation?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm absolutely 100% in lockstep with you.
You could go through the top teams now in college football and probably point to a defensive guy being the most important player on each of those teams. Yet, that's Alabama quarterback. Hey, they came back. He had 3 points through 58 minutes. It's infuriating. The simplistic thinking at times of the Heisman voting.
John Wilner, who covers the Pac-12, as he's the San Francisco, where does he write for?
San Jose Mercury News.
That's right, you're right. If Washington can get Matt Campbell, they're not getting Matt Campbell. I just don't see it. I think he's...
I told you this weeks ago.
Yep.
That Washington is a job.
Yep.
That is at least continued to talk about. And in terms of national stature, look, the Washington program isn't what it was under Don James and going back to the 80s and 90s and winning national championships, but it's still a really great job.
No, it is. Now, look, I think USC was the plum.
Mm-hmm. Is it an apricot?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's a top 20 program.
I think he's waiting for Notre Dame. And Brian Kelly might have been closer to leaving this year than in some years. So what does that say? Maybe patience.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get to Scott Docterman. We will do that. We'll take a timeout. Doc coming up next.
We
got to
talk
Athletic
some quarterbacks
with
Doc.
He should find out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody will find out.
Well,
tomorrow.
Will we actually find out though, or are we going to hear a little more playing coy with the quarterbacks?
You saw the
I'm ready for the or on the depth chart.
The Zoom meeting yesterday said that he's going to announce it tomorrow. We'll see. Scott Docterman next. Miller and Condon till noon. Underway. Busy Monday. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Roofing.net.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Let's get to our friend Scott Docterman. He's got a trip to Indianapolis in his future as the Hawks and the Wolverines will collide 7 o'clock our time on Fox. Of course, if you can't be in front of your TV, you can hear the game down the hall here. News Radio 1040 WHO. Hello, Scott Dockerman. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you today?
Doing well. Doc, before we, I don't want to run out of time without having the proper time to do this, but there's a great sale going on at The Athletic. I think today is the final day, Cyber Monday. You won't find a better bargain in sports, in my opinion. I mean, it's $1 a month if you sign up today for The Athletic, and it's not just if you're not a Hawkeye fan, if you're a pro sports fan. Every single sport, for the most part, has a dedicated writer, which is why I am such a big fan. I read about my Winnipeg Jets constantly. Doc, it's a great offer. Let's talk a little bit about that. Today is the final day, correct?
That is correct, yeah. Our Black Friday sale, $1 per month for 12 months for new subscribers. So, we could read up on Iowa or a lot of the other teams around. We do have a Michigan writer, so you can follow both teams throughout the week. But then, as you said, you could go with a lot of different things. We have a lot of great national basketball writers. I believe Brian Hamilton has written recently about Iowa State basketball. So, and then, of course, the Packers, the Vikings, the Bears, and, whether or not coaching changes are going to happen there. And then, of course, around the country with Lincoln Riley just recently leaving Oklahoma for USC.
Which was a massive move, Doc. Let's start there. We'll get to just a minute on Lincoln Riley. The Pac-12 needed this in the worst way, Doc. They needed to, because this conference, they've struggled to find a place in the college football playoff. They needed a shot in the arm like this with the Pac, with Oklahoma and Texas joined the SEC, the Big Ten being what the Big Ten is. The Pac-12 seemingly, they were on the outside looking in. This was huge for the conference, let alone USC.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it has an issue with being left out repeatedly. And Oregon's done a nice job for the most part of kind of making the conference relevant. But after Oregon, it's really slipped. And when you have a USC, a blue blood, with a national profile, you need it to be good. Just like the Big Ten needs Ohio State to be good, or the Big 12 did need Oklahoma and Texas to be good until they left, and just some of the other programs. It just makes the sport better when they're good, and then of course it makes it more compelling when they get upset too in high stakes games. So I think this is really a big time move for USC to get Lincoln Riley. I'm anxious to see what Washington will do, because it's probably after Oregon maybe the next most highest profile program out west, and if you can solidify that and have relevant games, especially when they're looking for a new TV contract, I think it really helps the Pac-12 and then ultimately college football.
All right, Doc, from there, no coaching change, at least on the horizon, at Iowa as the Hawkeyes make their way to the Big Ten championship game. West Division champions. I cringed when I saw the T-shirts and the trophy before the Wisconsin-Minnesota game, but there it was. The Gophers help out. They do it in a season, 10-2. Just an overview, Doc, your overview of this team. One that Ken and I continue to say, I don't know how, yet here they are, 10-2.
As I always have said for this team for about the last month and a half, is just try to get the last couple of drops of ketchup out of the bottle. And that's kind of what they've done. They've won tough, hard-fought games. They've rallied from 3 double-digit deficits to win this year. And they've done it in a perfect complementary fashion with offense, defense, and special teams. So early on, it was kind of a snowball down a hill, and then it got kind of stuck. And now they're pushing that rock up the hill and the snowball up the hill. And here they are. I mean, 10-2, it's impressive. You look back now with the benefit of hindsight at what this team is versus what it has been over the last few years, you could honestly say that any of the last 3 versions of Iowa was certainly better on offense when you had, a couple of years ago with Fant and Hawkinson and, Amir Smith-Marset, last year's team with some dominant defensive linemen and a great left tackle. But yet they're doing whatever it takes to win. And in some ways that needs to be applauded rather than derided, because, hey, you win games, it matters. And you win, and really going to Nebraska, they are starting to play better. I think they're playing better to their strengths and coaching to their strengths. And even though last week they were ravaged by the flu, they were able to make it happen.
And you got to give credit, and we could probably do this after every week, Phil Parker credit for the adjustments they made at halftime, because Nebraska was doing some business out on the edge, fellas, as you think back to that first half of that game. And seemingly, they pushed the linebackers out further in the second half because those plays that were there, those running plays that were there for Nebraska early in the game, Doc, they got completely taken away in the second half. That's coaching half second half adjustments, in my opinion, by moving the linebackers around.
Yeah, the linebackers were important, and also they just didn't do a very good job of holding the line, of really playing containment. And whether it was the defensive ends crashing too much and allowing for space for a quarterback keep or a pitch, it's just a lot of it's just basic fundamentals against the option, which you don't usually use very often. But they did batten it down a little bit. In some ways, it was similar, completely different stylistically, but similar to the Minnesota game, where they were getting killed a lot of times on outside sweeps, and then they made some alterations and they made it work. And I wasn't sure it was going to work when Nebraska took the ball 94 yards for a touchdown and they were down 21-6. But certainly they stepped up in the fourth quarter, and Nebraska really didn't stick to its game plan very well. And I think it started to feel the pressure when Iowa started to come back, especially after that blocked punt. And kind of cratered, whereas Iowa pretty much surged on defense.
So the quarterback question now is out there. After we see Spencer Petras come into the game, Iowa has the comeback while he's at the helm. Not because of Petras, but the running game really got going. But overall, first year anticipation before hearing what Kirk has to say tomorrow, depth chart being released. I think there might be an or between the two names, but what do you anticipate is going to happen tomorrow when we hear who's the guy, Padilla or Petras?
That's a great question, and I've tried to go back and forth. I've rewatched the game multiple times just to say, because sometimes what you feel in the moment is the emotion of the game. Mm-hmm. And really, when I looked back at what Alex Padilla did, it wasn't that bad. He missed on a couple of passes, and including the touchdown. That was a really bad pass. But Spencer Petras wasn't awesome either throwing the football. He had better command of the team, I think, at that point, and that's maybe what it needed at the moment, at that juncture. But and again, Alex Padilla was probably more worn out by the flu than Spencer Petras mm-hmm. was. I mean, it's hard to make a prediction. I mean, the person who's watched Kirk Ferentz all these years would say Petras, right. But I would really say Padilla would make more sense. But that said, I don't know. It's just hard to say right now because they both have put forth. I mean, they're both part of this 10-2 team. Their statistics haven't been that different. They've got some different styles. You've got leadership qualities on one side with Petras that you can't replicate, mm-hmm. whereas you have quickness and against a one of the best, if not the best, pass rushing team in the Big Ten, if not one of them in the country. Yeah, you're going to need everything you can get moving in the pocket.
Yeah, that to me is the great separator, Doc, because Hutchinson is going to get his and Ojabo is going to get his. Those two guys, they put a tremendous amount of pressure on the quarterback, as we saw with C.J. Stroud. Doc, Michigan dominated the Wolverines on both sides of the football, whether, the offensive line or the defensive line. Ohio State had no answer, and that's my opinion, was where that Michigan game was won and lost. And then you toss in the running back, Haskins, who I thought he's a pretty good back. But boy, oh boy, he was unbelievable. And McNamara's an efficient quarterback. So it's going to be a tough game, Doc.
No question. This is a little bit different team than we saw a year ago from Michigan. And all the credit in the world to Jim Harbaugh. I mean, you look at the Big Ten Coach of the Year, there are some very strong candidates. And I would say Kirk Ferentz should be at or near the top of the list, too, based on what we've seen this year. But Jim Harbaugh, that team was dead team walking a year ago. Yep. We had no idea that team was going to be anywhere near competitive. And then to go in, and they were a home underdog, but to flex their rivalry muscles and keep punching and keep being physical, no let up, no matter what happened or didn't happen, they were on the attack. And Ohio State couldn't handle it. And I think it showed a lot of the issues that Ohio State had against Oregon and maybe in a few other games. So, yeah, this is quite a formidable opponent, no question. They're playing as well as anybody in the country, and really they were up 30-14 on Michigan State. Otherwise, they'd be undefeated. So it's going to take a heck of an effort from Iowa to really be in a competitive game in the fourth quarter. That said, 5 years ago, it was similar. And I'm not saying that that's something to be a parallel, but Michigan was number two in the country, probably stronger defensively then than they are now. And Iowa was probably weaker on at least passing the football than they are now. And so I'm not suggesting or predicting anything yet by any stretch, but I have a feeling this is going to be a four-quarter fist fight one way or the other.
We know with the win, Iowa's in the Rose Bowl. With the loss, though, it gets convoluted. Doc, you are the bull czar of the state of Iowa, so fill us in. Iowa loses, let's say, around the point spread. They lose 27-17 to the Wolverines. The Hawkeyes end up where for their bowl destination?
I think it'll be the Citrus. And if they lose, like, say, 27-20 or, you know, whatever it ends up being, just straddle the over-under on and the points point spread there. I think they'll probably be the Citrus. They'll be 10-3. You'll see Michigan, you know, and a lot of it depends on what happens tomorrow with the college football rankings because the Rose Bowl, if Michigan wins, obviously it goes to the college football playoff, and then the Rose Bowl will take the second highest ranked Big Ten team. And if that's Iowa, then it's Iowa. If it's Michigan State, which it shouldn't be, or, you know, but it's probably either going to be Ohio State or Iowa if that comes out. Now, if I were the committee and if I were the Bulls, what I would try to do is gerrymander a matchup where you can maybe have Alabama play Ohio State in the Peach Bowl, have a Michigan State or an Iowa in the Rose, and then maybe an Ole Miss in the Sugar, because then you're going to have teams who are excited about those destinations. And because otherwise, Ohio, you know, Alabama playing, say, Baylor or Oklahoma State in the Sugar, that's not going to get their juices flowing. But if you're playing Ohio State, it will. And same thing with Ohio State. If they got to play a rematch with Oregon or Utah, there's going to be a lot of opt-outs. There's going to be a lot of players saying, you know, it's not that big of a deal. So, but for Iowa, going to the Rose Bowl is a big deal. So if I were them, I would try to do that. But we know they're not that smart. So my guess is it'd be Ohio State to the to Pasadena, Michigan State to either the Fiesta or the Peach, and then Iowa to the Citrus.
Did you see Kirk Herbstreit's Armageddon tweet from last night? What if Iowa wins the Big Ten? Georgia wins the SEC, Baylor wins the Big 12, Utah wins the Pac-12. It seems like Notre Dame would be in, Georgia would be in, but then who? I mean, is Iowa got a, I don't know if it's a lottery ticket yet, but if they win, Doc, potentially aren't they in the conversation if indeed the carnage that Herbstreit laid out comes to fruition?
They should be in the conversation. They're awfully far back. And really, again, tomorrow is going to be a key indicator where they end up. I mean, I think they should be somewhere around 12 based on who lost last week. That would make sense. But that's a huge jump from 12 to 4. There'd be some carnage, of course. But, you know, I mean, I think three teams would be spoken for. Cincinnati would be in there unless that gets upset by Houston and, you know, certainly Georgia.
And he put that in the – that was no part of his scenario, that Houston beat Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Oh, man. I think Iowa needs to be discussed, no question. And I think it depends on how it happens. But if you're a two-loss Big Ten champion that beat a two-loss team and the next teams in your league have two losses, then I think you deserve a little credit for that. And no matter, you know, style of play, whatever you did, I mean, no matter what happens in the playoff, then I think, yes, absolutely, you should be considered. Now, if, say, Oklahoma State wins, if – you know, I think they deserve to be in there.
Me too.
I think they've been fantastic defensively and in Cincinnati. I'm not as sold on Notre Dame as being a playoff team, but I think they're definitely a New Year's Six team. There's a lot of questions there, but hey, that's what makes this fun. That's
really
what makes
is
the most interesting sport out there, because you don't have these conversations with football. It's like, who's going to be the sixth or seventh seed in the AFC?
No, which is that's a good point, although it is a big talker this year, but we'll save that for January. If you follow college football, if you follow sports, The Athletic, today is the final day of the Cyber Monday sale for a year, $1 a month, $12 for a yearly subscription to The Athletic. Well worth the money. Scott Dockerman, great stuff, Doc. Thank you for doing this. We'll recap it with you next week if your schedule allows. Thank you, Doc.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep, good to talk to you. Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. Miller and Condon back to finish up the hour. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3. Competition. I don't disagree one little bit. Well, what a weekend. Lincoln Riley. Look, there's no defense or doubts about it. He's running out on Oklahoma because they're leaving the Big 12.
That's
and good for him.
Yes.
Good for him.
What's a better, easier place to win? USC?
Or the SEC? I know the answer. Everybody does. Lincoln Riley did, as important as anything. Bama Bob, Trent, and I will go around college football, kicking off hour number two next on 106.3 KXNO.